can do it all night long.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
That's tomorrow, and that is it for us today. And we will leave you with a... I can't do it. We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live. Do it live. I'll write it, and we'll do it live.
We have a liftoff.
F***ing thing sucks.
Live from the Penguin Radio Studios on the campus of Dominican University of California, it's Do It Live with me, Avery Jaffe.
Welcome back once again to Do It Live here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu, your home for the next hour. I'm joined in studio. It's a very busy day in the Penguin Radio Studios. But first, let me just tell you about what the heck is going on, what you're listening to. This is Do It Live. I am Avery Jaffe, and you are doing it live. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome. Thursdays at 8, only on radio.dominican.edu. We are broadcasting. Well, maybe they're broadcasting somewhere else, but we are broadcasting live worldwide from the world headquarters of Penguin Radio in historic Angelico Concert Hall. As I say in my promo, Do It Live gives you the heads up for what's happening at Dominican, from campus events to Penguin sports and even Edge Hill parties. Still haven't actually discussed Edge Hill parties yet on the program. However, joining me in studio this evening are some special guests. Why don't you introduce yourselves? The man to my right, Mr. Michael Choma. Who are you?
I'm Michael Choma.
Yes. So, a man who needs no introduction and is not willing to give himself one. Now, I'm joined across the table by my friends Dustin Ussery and Matthew Choma. If you'll notice, dear listener, Matthew shares the same name as my first guest to my right. If you're watching on Ustream, he's the individual in the red shirt waving to the entire world. Welcome, Michael. So, Matthew, why is Michael here? Who are you, actually, Matthew?
I'm Michael Second Wheel.
Okay.
And he's visiting me for the weekend from the lovely Palm Springs, California.
Is that where I am from?
That is also where you are from,
okay.
Actually.
What about
by
me?
Some fluke. You are not even remotely from there.
Just making sure.
Yeah. You wouldn't fit through the doorways. You're too tall.
It's true. But Dustin, who's sitting right across from me, is 6'10" tall and has a hard time fitting through doorways.
In general.
In general, yeah.
I just don't fit anywhere, really.
So we're going to be talking about what's going on at Dominican, which is what we always do. And later on the show, I will be talking in a special comment about the death of Trayvon Martin and releasing the exclusive audio of my interview with former Michigan Governor Jennifer Granholm. I'm very excited to be debuting that. It's not a very long clip. I've been hyping the heck out of it, but, you know, It's still, I think, kind of a big deal. And I'm very glad that we have that opportunity going on. Matthew, Dustin, tell me about the trip that it took to get Michael to Dominican.
Well, we tried to leave a couple hours early in order to get there. And that worked out really well because I'm sure, as you know, if you've driven on a freeway here in California, especially in California, when you make a signal to turn somewhere or turn to a different lane, everybody automatically speeds up because nobody wants to have you cut across them because they all have somewhere to be. So we ended up not making our turn, and we had to turn off onto Berkeley's Martin Luther King Boulevard.
MLK.
It was interesting.
I'm pretty sure every city has a Martin Luther King Boulevard.
That's why it debuted as Berkeley's. I think it's really unique. I mean,
when you say we're
Dustin,
headed toward,
tell us.
When you say we're headed towards the Oakland airport and we got lost and turned off on MLK, usually people assume that there should be bullet holes in my truck.
Okay.
But it was Berkeley's MLK.
Berkeley's
and it was quite
so peaceful, though.
Yeah.
You just forget that it's in the East Bay.
There was mainly just people on bicycles, and there was a guy who had one of those old-fashioned motorcycle helmets with the single spike going out of the top.
So he was something out of the German forces from World War I.
But then he had streamers and stuffed animals on hanging from his bicycle. So I was really confused by that. But then it took...
sister's bike.
Oh, it was a sister's bike. Okay.
Okay.
But then it took me about 20 minutes to get my ticket to go and pick him up because I got an escort ticket, which means I can head through security.
Yeah.
and just go to the gate and grab him and come back. Took me 20 minutes to get through that, and then another 20 minutes to get through security itself, because for some reason, me going to pick up a minor who can't direct himself through an airport doesn't entail maybe a faster line or something like that. So I had to go through with everybody else. So
Michael, it seems like you want to jump in here. What do you have to say?
I can go through an airport. It just, my parents don't trust me enough. They don't believe me. They don't think I can do it.
What was it like traveling as an unaccompanied minor on an airplane?
Well, it was actually very awkward because the two people sitting next to me, they didn't really care for talking. I would try to make conversation. They would say one word and they would stop talking for the rest of the flight. So it was very boring. and then this one lady behind me ordered like 10 bags of peanuts.
Oh, okay.
Kept asking for them.
Sounds like my mom or something like
for
that.
For those of you who don't know, Michael is very uncomfortable around peanuts. And apparently when ladies behind him order multiple bags of peanuts, it completely ruins his entire flight. Mm-hmm.
I started to cry.
He's terrified of peanuts.
What's the weirdest experience you've ever had on a plane, Matthew or Dustin?
That's hard. I've had a lot of weird experiences.
Here, let me start it off with mine. I didn't actually have that weird of an experience. I just got a weird question. I was flying into Dallas-Fort Worth 2 years ago because it's a major hub for American Airlines. So basically everything that you fly is going to stop at DFW. And one lady asked me at the end of the flight, just as like the captain has turned off the fasten seatbelt sign, bing, you're now free to move out the cabin. He asked, or she asked me, what's your first name? After having like the most awkward side conversation with me throughout the entire day, or throughout the entire flight. She's like, so what's your first name? I'm like, does it matter? Weird experiences, Dustin.
Well, for those of you who've seen Fight Club, I have a few single-serving friends from the airplanes on which I've flown. This previous summer, I had flown to Frankfurt, direct from San Francisco. So it's a very long flight.
Frankfurt. Yeah. Which airline was that?
It was, I don't even remember what airline
Lufthansa.
It was.
Lufthansa, or something like that.
No, Lufthansa was, we did fly Lufthansa back, but okay. I don't know what we flew down there. It was whatever their sister airline is. But and
Lufthansa.
Yeah. But on the flight, we had gotten these fans. There's like these dime a dozen fans from this Chinese market thing that my German teacher had got them from. And everyone got one. And a couple of the girls that were on the trip were decorating. And one of the stewardesses came up and saw this and asked to buy one of them from them. And so the stewardess comes up and buys one of these fans from this girl. And it's hilarious because it's just a stewardess seeing a girl coloring on a fan and just buys it. So that was really weird.
All right. Fair enough. Matthew, your weirdest experience.
I think personally my weirdest experience flying in general was when this past spring I went to Europe for a week. And just that whole thing of flying, being awake for about 36 hours flying to another country was strange. But the weirdest part of that whole experience was on the way back, our final flight, which is about 3 hours. Every other flight, our entire group, our tickets were booked together. We were all seated together. Except the last flight, we were spread out amongst the plane for no apparent reason.
So that's that. Mm-hmm. All right. We are going to take a quick time out. We might have some interviews coming up. I don't know if anybody's really going to phone in. I'm really flying by the seat of my pants tonight, but that's okay. Coming up next, we're going to be talking about what's going on at Dominican and getting two shout-outs, because that's really all I'm good for, isn't it? You're listening to Do It Live with Avery Jaffe. My name is Avery Jaffe, and you are doing it live only on radio.dominican.edu and Ustream. But it's going to take money. It's gonna take time, a lot of precious time. It's gonna take patience and time, to do it right.
Penguins, this is Avery Jaffe, host of Do It Live on Penguin Radio. Give me an hour and I'll give you the heads up for what's happening at Dominican. From campus events to Penguin sports and Edge Hill parties. Start your Thirsty Thursday off right with a shot of controversial news and commentary on the topics that affect you. You deserve the truth on the issues that matter most, and I won't be afraid to speak my mind and unleash some critical opinions. Agree? Disagree? Call in at 415-482-3587. Let's do it live.
Do it live! I'll write it and we'll do it live!
Thursdays from 8 to 9 p.m. only on radio.dominican.edu.
F***ing thing sucks!
That kid is the most annoying person on campus. Guys, what do you think? I've taken your mics off mute just for this. Who is that Avery kid? I keep hearing about him.
I heard he hit a girl in the face with his hand and broke his finger, but that's just a rumor, so for sure.
Okay. I hear his hair is insured for $10,000.
I heard he made out with a hot dog once.
Oh, my God. That was one time.
Did he even go to the school?
No. No, okay. He does not.
I think he just has feelings.
He has a lot of feelings.
I have a lot of feelings. Michael, you don't even know what we're referencing.
You don't even go here.
If you're just tuning in, this is Do It Live with Avery Jaffe, radio.dominican.edu and tinyurl.com/ustream. We are broadcasting live over the internet. This is being saved for all of posterity, unless I messed up somehow technically. I'm sitting down with my friends Matthew Choma, Dustin Ussery, and Michael Choma. Michael is Matthew's younger brother. I've been friends with Matthew since fifth grade. Michael is here down from SoCal. We're very glad to have him in the studio. Michael, do you have any words?
Up here from SoCal.
Not really.
Oh, yeah. You know, usually you get that right, but for whatever the reason, I got it wrong tonight. Oops. And now it's time for the Penguin wrap-up. That's just what I'm going to call it. So give me a little music in the background as I say to myself, all right, I don't even know what's going to be playing right now. So, no, Matt. No singing. Let's just talk about what's going on campus at Dominican. Tomorrow at 4:30 p.m., lacrosse has their final home game of the season. Okay, you know, I can't deal with this music. I cannot deal with this music. So
I wasn't listening. What was it?
You think I know?
It was bad. That's all I know.
I am going to go to an acoustic version of Fun, or excuse me, of We Are Young by Fun and Janae Monel or Monel Janae or whatever it is. Okay. People like that music, right? Okay, sure. Final home game of the season for Dominican lacrosse. Come cheer on Dominican senior lacrosse players Reed Upson, Emmett Farisee, Ben Wang, Matt Palizzi, and Corey Whelan as they play their final home game for the Penguins. It's a crucial WILA matchup for first place Colorado Mesa. Now, the game was actually moved from Forest Meadows Field, and it's going to be at the artificial turf at Marin Catholic High School. We'll just wait for that chorus to go. Later on in the week, we have DU Night at AT&T Park, where everybody's singing in studio. It's really distracting. So DU Night at AT&T Park Round 2. Tickets are on sale right now. Are you a fan of the San Francisco Giants or the Oakland Athletics? Or do you simply just want to experience the SF nightlife at AT&T Park? Then come join us for DU Night at AT&T Park. And let's do it again. Matthew, you seem like you're about to jump in.
I just like the hot dogs.
Matthew just likes the hot dogs. That's
and the
very good.
And cracker jacks.
Okay, fair enough.
I think I'm going to get like 10 bags of peanuts.
So it's $5 for a ticket to the game, or it's just $5 for a bus ticket. I don't know why you would just need a bus ticket, but it's $10 altogether, and we only have a limited number of seats available. So we really hope you can join us. That's Monday, April 2nd. That's this Monday. And buses leave Conlett at around 5:30. We'll figure it out later. That's going on in baseball. I love this event. It's one of my favorite events of the year. And we have on Tuesday, April 3rd, the Justice Meal, A Taste of World Hunger, sponsored by Dominican Campus Ministry, great organization. Join them for an interactive experience highlighting the issue of global hunger. Find out who goes hungry, why, and what you can do to help. Here's how it works. Guests are given tickets at random and assigned them to high, middle, or low income tier based on the latest statistics about the number of people living in poverty. Each income level receives a corresponding meal, filling and nutritious or sparse and simple. When the meal is done, guests are invited to share their thoughts and take action. Dustin Usry is about to make love to a microphone if he continues air singing to this song. So after a Justice Meal event, few participants leave with full stomachs, but all possess a greater understanding of hunger and poverty and are motivated to do something to help. Great event. I have a friend on the East Coast, lives in Friendship Heights, goes to St. John's Preparatory High School, and they have basically Poverty Week where they do that same example of dividing the students up by the latest poverty statistics. And in a contest for the longest Facebook event name possible, the Rotaract Club of Dominican University of California presents the second annual Sing for Smiles Karaoke Night for LN4 Prosthetic Hands Foundation. As Matthew and Dustin high five.
Mm-hmm. With our real hands.
Exactly. Oh, that is.
Oh. That was crossing the line.
Michael, I just want to inform you that you clapped for that joke with real hands. The price for the event, Rotaractors are free. DU students have a suggested donation of $1. Faculty and staff suggested donation of $3. And DU alumni and community affiliates, $3. Essentially, you know, you're getting recorded on all this, right? Essentially, this event is to fundraise for the production of prosthetic hands, which is the main goal for the Rotaract Club. It's really a busy week for Dominican events, and we continue that with a night of jazz sponsored by artsy people in the Creekside Room and Patio on Friday, April 13th. It'll be transformed into Chili's Jazz Club.
Everybody, music. Bring your jazz hands.
Great. Okay. Live music will be provided by the Gabriel Guevara Memorial Jazz Orchestra and Blitzkrieg Acapella Choir. Admission, drinks, and desserts are free of charge, so put on your dancing shoes and party Jay Gatsby style, which hopefully means that you will not be shot in the pool and after losing all of your money.
Or be run over by a car.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm wondering if that guy from Calarega will be there. You know, the one with the hat that always
dances. Oh, he most certainly will be there.
Should we make sure he knows so he can be there?
I think we really should, because I've actually confessed to planning to be him on Halloween.
That sounds very interesting.
Yeah.
I'm excited for
not
that.
Really.
Who's breathing into the microphone? I think it's Matthew.
It could possibly be me.
Matthew
so
does
bring on Saturday, April 14th, Dominican University of California, Angelico Concert Hall, Capamilia, the Filipino Pride Organization at Dominican, presents Filipino Culture Night 2012, PCN in other words. Kilison. Saturday, doors open at 5 p.m. The show begins at 5:30. This is a cultural event featuring student performers of all ages and sizes and names. Because most Dominican students have different names. 15% of the evening's proceeds will be donated to a charity local in San Francisco. Then, one of my favorite events, Tuesday, April 17th, the candidates debate for the second congressional district seat. All the candidates who are running for the new second congressional district will be at Dominican and participating in a congressional forum that will be moderated by Mary Marcy, and broadcast live worldwide on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. Always have to include that plug there. I'm thinking one of these days I should just have a contest with another radio DJ to see how many times I can actually plug the station while still having it fit into the normal context of what I have to say.
So you might as well just record yourself saying it and then run it underneath you.
Yeah.
It's like radio.dominican.edu.
By the way, Pacific's baseball is coming to San Rafael, and Penguin Radio is the official flagship station of the San Rafael Pacifics. Thank you.
Radio.dominican.edu.
So Penguin Ball on a Boat is coming up on Saturday, April 21st. It's the biggest event of the year, but we have a very special phone call coming in, so we'll be right back after this quick break.
Yeah.
We are back on radio.dominican.edu with a very special guest joining us tonight live via the power of the telephone. It's a very special guest who I actually wasn't sure was going to be confirmed for tonight, but he is here. It's Rafael Lopez, also known as DJ Alpha. And thanks so much for being here tonight.
Thanks for having me. How's it going?
Really well, really well. We're glad to actually have a guest on other than, you know, me and my friends sitting in studio. Now, if you don't know about DJ Alpha, you are a person who doesn't get out much, clearly, because apart from having the high honor to actually have DJed my high school's prom, he is an accomplished musician, artist, and most of all, DJ in the Palm Springs and L.A. Community. He performed twice at Coachella 2011, if you just see the footage, it's an incredible event that will just getting to perform at Coachella twice. You are a Coachella artist and you get to market yourself as that. What has that experience been for you going just performing at the world's largest music event?
Yeah, well, that was basically like a dream come true for me. As a native to Coachella Valley, it was like one of my dreams to one day play the festival. I went to the first festival when I was 15 years old, and I just had bought a pair of turntables like 2 months before. And I was just like really inspired by seeing all these DJs, and I was just like, man, I want to one day like just be on that stage and be able to perform, you know. And literally 10 years later, I got called to DJ and perform, and it was like a total like dream come true. And now I'm just like looking forward to continuing, playing the festival and just keeping it going. Work my way up, in the festival.
Definitely. So, what are you going to be doing this year at Coachella? What is your involvement like?
Well, for the last 4 years, we've been asked to. I've been asked to DJ in the campground. Because the Coachella Valley art scene, which is like an organization that I work with, they produce an installation inside the campground, which offers free DIY arts and crafts to the festival goers. So, camping is a big operation. There's about 30,000 people that camp.
Yeah, it's like a city in and of itself.
Yeah, so we are located in the center of the camping area, and like I said, we offer free arts and crafts. So before the concert, when people wake up and they have 4 or 5 hours to spare, they could come into the art studios and make a personalized souvenir, and they could remember Coachella, even better because they made something there. And then I'm there kind of providing. I'm providing music and entertainment while people are crafting, which is really cool because I really vibe off people. And I kind of like, I get inspired by people that are making art, and then I'm just kind of looking out in the crowd and playing music that goes along with it.
Yeah, definitely. So we know how you got started or how you got involved with Coachella. How did you just begin the process of becoming a DJ? When did you get this idea that this is what you wanted to do?
Well, I've always loved music, and I think being a DJ, you obviously have to really love music and want to be able to share it. As a kid, I just grew up loving music. My family, no one in my family, in my immediate family, is a musician. Like my dad, he loves music, though. Like, so whenever we'd have a party, he'd always hire a band. So I was always like get inspired by all this like music that my dad would be playing or like these bands that he would hire to DJ like my sister's parties and stuff. So I was always like inspired by like music and musicians. And then so like I just started collecting music as a teenager. And basically when I was in eighth grade, I got inspired. I was just like, it was kind of like the peak of like the, it was like the first Coachella was coming out. It was like 99.
Yeah.
I was into like punk rock and stuff at the time, and for some reason, I turned on the TV and I just saw someone DJing and scratching, and I was like, man, like I want to do that, And I didn't know what I was doing. I just bought a pair of turntables and like I spent all my money on these turntables, and yeah. like, everyone totally laughed at me, and they were just like, what are you doing? And I didn't know anything like about DJing or like anything. I just kind of just went on a limb, and I was like, I want to learn how to do this. And, you know, little by little, you know, I just started, I was just doing it in my room and making kind of like mixtapes. And so, yeah, like I definitely, you know, I just got inspired by seeing other DJs and seeing what was going on. And obviously, like I said, Coachella, going to Coachella and seeing actual like really awesome DJs, you know, do their thing. I just kind of saw the possibilities and it kind of just inspired me. And, you know, I started doing it in high school. Once I hit high school, I was asked to do like, you know, like house parties.
Yeah.
And, you know, everyone was like, oh yeah, you have turntables. Like, come on over. Like, we're going to have a party. So I would just bring my turntables. And, you know, it's a lot of like being a DJ, it's kind of like, it's really tough, you know, like.
Yeah. Well, it's a lot of equipment to lug around.
Yeah, totally. So like just starting off, you know, I was doing these house parties and stuff. And like you said, it's a lot of work to be taking all this equipment. And so, you know, I just did it for the love of it. And when I got to college, I just linked up with, like, the student organization on campus and started doing events with them. And that's where I got, like, more professional with it. Once I reached college and I started doing, like, bigger parties and bigger events, you know, and then literally, like, the school was, like, hiring me to do, like, all these big, huge events with thousands of students. And I was like, wow. Yes, like, this is, like, what I want to do. Like, I realized, like, man, I could really make this a career. And I got definitely, more, like, my senior year of college, like, I just saw the potential of just, you know, working with organizations and doing events and, you know, providing the music.
Well, that's really, that's all you can ask for, just to absolutely do what you love and enjoy the process of working and being able to turn that into a career. Who are some of the most notable artists that you've either met or even performed with through the course of DJing? I know that I've seen some pictures of some notable rappers that you've been hanging out with.
Yeah, so, you know, Wiz Khalifa is like a big artist now. And actually, when the first time he ever came to California, I DJed for him, and I was his first DJ.
That's awesome.
In California at the Glass House, and he had sold out the Glass House, and our friends were the ones that booked him, and they saw, they had been Wiz Khalifa fans for, you know, like 2 or 3 years, and they, my friends actually do all his clothing for him, the Taylor Gang. Okay. They're out of Moreno Valley, so when they told me, you know, hey, we're going to have a hip-hop show, and this guy, Wiz Khalifa, and at the time, to tell you the truth, I didn't really know who he was. I had heard a couple songs. But I didn't really know he was going to be, like, super huge, and, yeah, it was really cool. Like, I got to meet, like, Wiz Khalifa, and I DJed for him, and, like, right after that, he got really big, and he got picked up on a lot of major festivals, and then last year, he played Coachella, and he was one of, like, the headlining artists.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to, like, DJ for him, which is, like, a really cool thing. I've DJed with Snoop Dogg, DJ Quick. That right there was pretty unbelievable.
Yeah, no, it's interesting that, you know, like Wiz and Snoop both have performed, or Snoop's going to perform this year at Coachella. So there's this really strong bond of Coachella, I guess, that bringing all these artists together, huh?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of like once you play a huge festival like Coachella, and it's, I think of it as the best party in the world just because it has the best music and the best art, you know, and it's in the perfect location, a nice grass field in the middle of, like, mountains. It's really, like, an awesome party. So once, you know, you get to play this awesome party and you get, like, a lot of exposure, you know, a lot of the artists tend to connect with each other. I know there's a lot of artists this year that I'm really looking forward to seeing, and hopefully through all the Coachella Madness, I get to, like, meet them and link up with them and, you know, one way or another, get to work with other artists that you respect.
Well, that's, you know, again, I mean, we can only, here at the radio show, we can only speak about good things that you've done. So, one, how did you come up with the name Alpha Alpha, if it's not a secret?
You know, Alpha Alpha was totally given to me. It was, it was a name that was given to me when my senior year of high school, and I was asked to DJ a party, and a couple of my friends who were DJs at the time were going to throw a show, and they wanted me to DJ, and at the time, I didn't have a DJ name. I just DJed in my bedroom, you know, and my name's Raphael, so, you know, some people call me Ralpha, like Rafa or something,
yeah.
So I was like, Alpha Ralpha, like, and my friend, like, looked at me weird when he was going to make the flyer. He's like, I'm not going to put that on the flyer. Really dumb. And then I'm really glad he didn't. And so I was like, you know what, just make a name and, you know, I'll check it out tomorrow on the flyer. And, like, literally I came to school the next day and, like, all over the campus it said Alpha Alpha, you're going to be DJing this party. And I liked it. Like, I was like, man, that sounds really cool. Actually, yeah. I was like, man, that was like way better than any name I could come up with. And, you know, it kind of stuck with me. Since that day, I've been Alpha Alpha, and I kind of like a name that was kind of given to me.
Well, that's a really great opportunity. Sometimes, you know, you'll have things that are totally out of your control. Like, people just give you a name. Like, I think in radio, several people will just have come on to host a show, and people just like throw their name out there, just a fake pseudonym, and it sticks. Like, you know, Larry King, not his actual name, started off in radio. So, and the name's definitely worked for you. And final question, what do you have to say to, you know, an upstart young artist or DJ who is just starting off in music and wants to get their name out there? What words of encouragement do you have for them?
Be successful in music, or basically in anything in life, really. You just got to be yourself and kind of, like, listen to yourself and listen to your heart. And I think as a musician, that totally, like, is so true. And I think, like, a lot of these upcoming DJs, they just have to remember to have their own style. Like, DJing is, like, the whole thought of just, like, DJing, it's, you know, to get paid to just play music, you know, for some, it's silly to some people, but if you actually see, like, a really good DJ, you know, mix music, and like, it's a true art, you know? And so I think a DJ, if you want to be successful, you have to, like, be original and have to mix music, like, your way, and, like, and play music that you like, you know, and not, like, music that you think other people are going to like. Play music that you like, and I think that right there is, like, being able to, like, take risks as well, like, sometimes you want to play a song that no one's ever heard before and kind of expose people to stuff and kind of, like, educate them on music, you know? And I think a lot of DJs, they tend to play it safe, and they just play kind of, like, music that they know the crowd's going to like. And I think, well, that's good, but it's also good to expose people to new stuff and play, you know, what you want to do and not, you know, what people are expecting you to do.
Definitely. And just speaking as a listener, I mean, Alpha Alpha, who we're interviewing right now, radio.dominican.edu, has one of the most unique sounds that you can ever hear from a DJ. You know, it's not top 40, it's not dubstep, it's not anything that's really been overplayed. It's something truly unique, and for that, we really thank you for joining us tonight. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
So that was Alpha Alpha, Coachella performing artist, who is my guest tonight. Radio.dominican.edu. This is Do It Live. Rafael Lopez just did it live. And you are too. Radio.dominican.edu and tinyurl.com/ustream. We'll be right back with a special comment on the passing of Trayvon Martin, the Jordan Zimmerman case, and a bunch of other wonderful stuff, including shoutouts. We'll be right back.
Oh, you dare to dream really do come true. Someday I'll wish upon a star and wake up where the clouds are far behind.
Okay, this is the worst music ever. I'm going to change it to something that actually rocks. We're back on Do It Live, radio.dominican.edu, tinyurl.com/doitlive. If you've been listening, we just had a live interview via the telephone with Rafael Lopez, DJ Alpha Alpha, who performed at Coachella last year. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful individual. And a shout out to Sarah Scheidman, his lovely boothang, who's the head of the Coachella Valley art scene. Check him out at thecoachellavalleyartscene.com. Or just Google him if I got the name wrong. Not the name, the address. In any case, we're going to do a couple of shout-outs right now. And by a couple, I mean everybody who wanted a shout-out by liking my status. First one goes off to the only person who liked the status asking for shout-outs, Stephanie Gossi. I know I dated you at one point. That was kind of awkward. You're at Gonzaga right now. Hope you're having the time of your life. Chelsea Sanchez, who's a singer. Dustin's cracking up on that one. Chelsea Sanchez. Check her out on YouTube, C-H-E-L-S-E-Y Sanchez. Check, advertise her musicianness, she says. Madison Munson says, K-S-F-V-K, semicolon, F-J, you know, she's just smashing the keyboard. Madison Munson, I hope you have a great long three-day weekend and learn to develop typing skills. Yes. My best friend, Sean Boland, who's currently having the time of his life in Palm Springs, California, not on spring break from UCSB, says, ooh, do me. Sean, I'd be more than happy to. Christy Avalos, who's at, I think, Cal Poly Pomona, I think, says, even me? No, Christy, not you.
I give Christy that shout out.
Hi, Matthew. Matthew gives you the shout out.
Hi, Matthew. I've been here every
Derek Shinkey from the Marywood Palm Valley School says, oh, hi. Guillermo Valdez at Vassar College says, me. Jessica Chipman wants a shout out, but she's not going to get one because she lives in Florida. Andrew Leontes just went 0-6 on acceptances to the UCs. Big high five to him. I love you, Andrew. I really miss talking to you. Kirsty McGee, I haven't even read this comment, says, you may only give a shout out to me if you refer to me as the Majestic McGee or King Awesome, whatever. Yay, Avery, says Shelly Goldberg. So, Kirsty, no. Shelly, you get a shout out. And big shout out to Hunter Horenstein, who just got contracted by the San Rafael Pacifics to do Pacifics Talk coming weekly on Penguin Radio. Going to be a show that's all about the new professional baseball club that's coming to San Rafael. The San Rafael Pacifics, Penguin Radio is the official broadcast partner of them. Season's getting started on in June. It's going to be a big, big event. All right. Anything you guys want to add before we get into the serious stuff after a quick break?
Yeah. I want to give a shout out to Genevieve Schmidt and Anya Fitzgerald because I know they're in class right now, but they're definitely most likely listening to Penguin Radio.
They are.
Yeah, they probably are because they get bored in their class and listen in class.
Yeah, I should mention that that class is called Psychology of Natural Disasters. That class is a natural disaster in and of itself, as I always mention.
It sounds amazing, and then
it's a psych class.
Yeah. It kind of sounds like I'm not going to go there. So Genevieve and Ani are some of my biggest supporters. They always sneak into class with an iPad and manage to run headphones through their sweater sleeves and rest their heads against their hands, which contain the earbuds, excuse me, and listen to the show during class. And Hunter Horenstein says, no, 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 stop tagging me. It's not about me. Damn it, Avery, you shameless promoter.
He deserves promotion.
He does. He is the voice
to be promoted.
Of Penguin Athletics, apart from Stuart Horn. Shout out to Stu. Okay, I'm just giving shout outs to everybody right now.
Do I have a shout out?
No. Michael.
Aww.
No.
No shout out?
Right next to me is Michael Choma, the younger brother of Matthew Choma, who's been my friend, allegedly, on and off my friend since fifth grade, something like that.
Or something, whatever. Who cares?
Nobody cares about him.
I'd like to give a shout out. Willie and Teresa Chelma, our parents, are listening in tonight because I actually, out of the people who should have known that Michael was going to be on the show, Michael was the only one who didn't know he was going to be
true.
On the
show. It's true. We actually brought him into the studio not telling him anything about what was going on tonight.
I thought I was going to get attacked or mugged.
You are getting attacked. If you want to give a shout-out, call in at 415-482-3587. We're going to take one caller. We're going to take one caller only, 415-482-3587. And in the meantime, while you're dialing those buttons, 415-482-3587, hopefully I'm giving out the station number and not like Stu's personal number.
Why don't you give it one more time just to make sure?
415-482-3587. While you're dialing those digits, Matthew, Dustin, Michael, and I are just going to shoot the breeze for a second. Anyway, we'll be right back on Penguin Radio. Got an exclusive interview with the former governor of Michigan, Jennifer Granholm.
Penguins, this is Avery Jaffe, host of Do It Live on Penguin Radio. Give me an hour and I'll give you the heads up for what's happening at Dominican. From campus events to Penguin sports and Edge Hill parties. Start your Thirsty Thursday off right with a shot of controversial news and commentary on the topics that affect you. You deserve the truth on the issues that matter most, and I won't be afraid to speak my mind and unleash some critical opinions. Agree? Disagree? Call in at 415-482-3587. Let's do it live.
Do it live! I'll write it and we'll do it live!
Thursdays from 8 to 9 p.m. only on radio.dominican.edu.
F***ing thing sucks!
for another view. One over the other, my shoulder is still. I feel all your movements, only when I feel my own. When we follow our consciences, we allow ourselves to grow and unfold. We wrap our bodies around everything we hold. It's hard to let go.
All right, we're back on radio.dominican.edu and tinyurl.com/doitlive. Almost forgot the name of my show right there. This is Do It Live with Avery Jaffe. My name is Avery Jaffe, and you are doing it live. Earlier this week, I met up with former Michigan Governor Jennifer Granholm. But before we even get to that, somebody has called in to the station. So we're going to take a quick call. You're listening to Do It Live with Avery Jaffe. Who's this? Who is this?
I want to give a shout out to my main man, Rick Santorum, because without him, we'd never know how much biblically induced sexual repression can leak into politics.
All right. Thank you very much, Rick Santorum supporter. I will be sure to reconfirm with you on who you actually were. Thanks for calling the station. That was awkward. In any case, I met up with former Michigan Governor Jennifer Granholm at Dominican University of California and discussed with her the Stand Your Ground law and how it applied to the Trayvon Martin case. This was her answer.
And what you did, referring to the Trayvon Martin case with the hoodie, can I get your thoughts on how the Stand Your Ground law was in effect and what's flawed about that?
Well, There's two different versions of this law. One is sort of the castle doctrine, which allows people not to retreat if they're in their home and they see an intruder. But the Stand Your Ground law takes the castle doctrine to wherever you are, and essentially you are a castle wherever you go on the street, which means you have no duty to retreat. And that means that it's essentially a license for people who are not witnessed to be able to use that defense anytime, anywhere, any place. It is really a law that is in danger of being hugely abused, as we are seeing potentially with this Trayvon Martin case.
That was Jennifer Granholm speaking with me right after the lecture that she held in Angelico Concert Hall. Really appreciate that she actually answered my question. She hosts The War Room on Current TV and, again, is the former governor of Michigan. Now, let's just talk about what happened in Florida in last month's shooting of Trayvon Martin. It's been the issue that's really been on the mind of America right now, even dominating the headlines over the American presidential race. And that seems to be wrapping up quite nicely in favor of Mitt Romney right now. But the case facts are this. It was a dark night in the gated community, and a man by the name of George Zimmerman was walking through the neighborhood late at night. This guy was a self-appointed neighborhood watch guy. No police training, no military training, just some guy with a gun. Trayvon, an African-American 17-year-old, unarmed, walks through the neighborhood in a hoodie containing the lethal weapons of an iced tea and Skittles. That's it. Now, depending on who you want to listen to, something happened. There's a confrontation, a scuffle. But at the end of the night, Trayvon Martin ends up dead. And I think it's hard to argue that in this case, this Zimmerman fella is anything but a racist. And I come into this with a very liberal perspective. I'm not ashamed of who I am. I'm not going to lie to you about my political orientation. I'm inclined to think that Zimmerman was a racist, acting on these paramilitary ideas that have been, you know, propagated throughout the right wing. Not to demagogue people of conservative ideas, just on the far right, this is what's going through the mind of people. Cases like Trayvon, unfortunately, are not unique. And I wish they were. You know, black young adults are being prejudiced against, or they're being discriminated against. Trayvon should be seen as a hero in some cases, or a martyr. And this idea that Zimmerman is coming back and saying, well, he attacked me or he assaulted me. I was bleeding. You know, police tapes are out today. The news just broke. This guy maybe had a head injury, but it was nothing like what was originally described by Zimmerman's father and Zimmerman himself. Trayvon never attacked anybody. He didn't forcibly injure someone. He didn't throw him to the ground, and he never said, you're going to die tonight. This is a kid who was walking on his way home in Sanford, Florida, in a gated community. And this individual, Zimmerman, had no idea what was going on. This idea of vigilantism and that it's every man out for himself is not what America is about. You know, I just referring back to this idea that independence, that I have no connection to anybody else other than myself. That's not America. That's not the United States. I mean, the United States has become what it is because we are one nation, one united people, the United States, not an amalgamation of territories that sometimes communicate with each other. E pluribus unum, out of many, one. That we are a United States. We've never been able to do it on our own. We're not a people who just say, you know what, pull yourself up by your bootstraps and go out into the world. We're not that kind of people. And Trayvon is not alone. Just because this incident ended in gun violence doesn't mean that this incident is anything, is an isolated case. This could have been anywhere. And this idea that, you know, you're on your own, we don't have to have any concern for one another, that if you feel so strongly about the race of somebody that you shoot first and ask questions later. This man shouldn't have had a gun. This man is this paramilitary lunatic who's taken upon himself to enforce justice when that's not your job. That's not your job at all. Then Senator Obama said it best in 2004 at the convention. I am my brother's keeper. I am my sister's keeper. We are one nation. You know, this isn't about dividing people, and this isn't about a hoodie either. You know, dividing people says that this is predicated on race, and that this, the only reason why this is getting attention is because of race. While race is a component, if this had happened anywhere, people would still be just as outraged. And I think it's insulting that so-called journalists like Geraldo Rivera would say that a hoodie is as much responsible for Trayvon's death as George Zimmerman. That's despicable. You know, as Stephen Colbert said it, a hoodie is as much as responsible for Trayvon's death and often making people appear to be violent, just like Geraldo's mustache and eyeglasses make him appear like a journalist. He's not. He's an imbecile. Maybe even on the levels of Zimmerman. Now, I didn't have much time to really compose my thoughts. And, you know, in a perfect world without the rigors of high school or of maybe high school, of a college education, I would have been able to come up with, basically a manifesto on this. But all you need to know is that this kid was wearing a hooded sweatshirt, carrying an iced tea and a bag of Skittles. And in our society, according to some, that's reason enough to be shot and killed. And that's not the America that I have grown up in. That's not the America that we've been. It damn for sure is not going to be the America that I'm going to accept in coming years. That's the show for this week. Do it live with Avery Jaffe, Thursdays, 8 to 9 on radio.dominican.edu. Let's take care of some business real quick. First off, I want to thank everybody for being in studio tonight. Really appreciate that. Michael Choma, Matthew Choma, and Dustin Ussery. And you can watch Do It Live anytime on our blog at doitlive.blogspot.com. This episode will be podcasted and saved for all of eternity, accessible at radio.dominican.edu. We've recorded our live video stream of tonight's episode, and we'll be posting that later tonight on Ustream, tinyurl.com/doitlive, or go to ustream.tv and search Do It Live with the DU and no spaces. And as always, you can like us on Facebook. That's the show for this week. Tell your friends, tell your family. I'm Avery Jaffe, and you just did it live. I'll see you right back here next week. Do It Live, Thursdays at 8, only on Penguin Radio. Keep it locked for Beacon and Thursday Night Mission coming up in just a couple minutes. Thanks, everybody.